he has given us to listen to his word and really just to reflect on his faithfulness, his loving kindness. I mean, it's like there are cycles and cycles and cycles, you know, and in a way it feels like we're coming to the end of, you know, the first cycle of the year. And for sure it's been a tough cycle. I mean, the first quarter coming to an end, and you know, with so many things happening around the world, but God has been faithful, and God continues to be faithful. And we, you know, as God, you know, prepares us, and as we sit in his at his feet, then what God does is he starts to, you know, to place a burden for us to pray for the coming season. You know, like you're about to shift into another season. When that is about to happen, what God does is that he always creates a burden for prayer, in that we know God has established prayer as the means by which he intervenes in the affairs of men. And so by him giving the earth to men, he has already established that for him to come to men, we call on him. And one of the things that God, through the Holy Spirit, helps us to do is to do intercession. And intercession. And intercession is really standing in between the gap for ourselves or for others, or even for things we do not know, for situations we have no idea, where we have no light at that moment. But as we pray, then God starts to open up those situations, and we start to deal with those things even before they come to pass. And one of the things that we encourage us to pray is to pray in the Spirit, to pray in tongues, because when you do that, then through the Spirit of God, you are able to deal with things that God wants you to deal with, because you are speaking in his language and you're speaking in the place that he can understand, and in the place that is hidden, because it's our secret code, it's our secret language between God and us who have believed in Christ. And so it helps us to pray. So as even as you come to an end of this cycle, just keep in prayer, keep sensitive, keep allowing God that we shall not be caught off guard. Because the thing is, when we walk in darkness, we are, you know, we can stumble, you know, things can go wrong. But then when we are found ready, you know, when the lamps, you know, you can think of the wise virgins, you know, the wise and the foolish virgins, both were virgins, you know, but some were wise, some were foolish. So in terms of qualification, yes, in terms of virginity, or in terms of them being available or ready to be received by the bridegroom, they were available. But you see, there are those that had oil in their lamps, extra oil. There are those who had the light. But then there are those also who did not have the light, and did not have the extra oil. So this oil is really generated in prayer. It is generated in fasting. It's generated in study of the word. You build your strength. You build your strength. And when your strength is built, then whatever comes, you are able to hold fast, you know, and you will not be shaken. You will not be shaken. So this is just something that we really need to just focus on. Let's as God leads you and I, let's find time to just spend time with him, because I believe there is something that God wants us to anticipate and to stand in the gap. Now, today we are in Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll be able to conclude from verse 32 onwards, and maybe we might just take it up a bit from verse 26. But really, today I want to focus, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, is on where we were flooded with light, or we were illuminated, and we will understand as the aspects of light and recalling the former days. And this is something that I believe God will help us understand. So I'll start from verse 26 so that we just take the context. It says that, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the enemies of God or the adversaries. Verse 28, anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? And this is what we talked about yesterday, that we have to consider the blood of the covenant as worthy and know that if we sin willfully, and remember we spoke that sin does not have any dominion over the believer, sinful nature was also cut out by the circumcision of Christ, the spiritual circumcision, so that whole corrupt nature was stripped off from the believer and it has no power. So sin is external to the believer and it comes at the place of temptation. To the unbeliever, sin has dominion over them in that they fall into sin and they sin even without their choice, because it's they are under control, they're under domination, they are possessed. But when we are in Christ, then that nature is stripped off, that nature is cut out, that nature is crucified and put to death, and we are dead to sin. That means sin has no power over us. If like when he speaks of the covenant, that when a woman was married, but then when her husband dies, she's no longer under that law. So we are dead to sin. That means we are no longer under the law or under the control of sin. Now, it says, if we, you know, how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled, stepping on the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now it's interesting where it says revenge is mine, because vengeance is mine. The Bible says God has said that vengeance is mine. And this is something that let's always just have it in heart, that there are things that we leave in the hands of God because he says vengeance is mine, I will repay. And when he says that the Lord will judge his people, this is speaking of the end times, and is speaking of the day of judgment. And he says, in that day, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, when I was looking at this verse, I was just drawn to David. You remember when David sinned and God came and judged him for his sin. And what was his sin? His sin was that he had counted his fighting men. And, you know, by counting his fighting men, he had lost his trust on God being the protector of Israel, and he thought it was the number of his soldiers. Then God comes and convicts him and tells him, you have sinned by the prophet. And then he was given, you know, three punishments. You know, he was told, one, do you want to a plague to come over the people? Or do you want to, you know, to be attacked by your enemies and for you to run, you know, and be attacked by your enemies for 3 months? And then I think there was another third punishment, which I've forgotten. But then he says that it is better that I fall into the hands of God than into the hands of men, because in God there is mercy. So he chose the punishment that where it involves God rather than men. But now you see Hebrews here tells us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But so it's not speaking, and you know, David chose to fall into the hands of men at that time, yes, because he knows he's still alive, because there is still mercy available as long as we're alive. Remember we said God created this break in eternity because we were in him before the foundations of the earth were laid. We were in Christ, we were in him. And we will be going back to him. But then he creates this dimension, which is time. And in this time, we have what is called mercy. But the Bible says that it is appointed once for man to die, then judgment. So once someone is dead, whether we like it or not, there is no prayer that we can make for that person to be born again. We have to speak to them and we have to pray for them when they are still alive, when they have to make that confession of us accepting salvation when they are still alive. Now, verse 32, where we'll look at it, says, "But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated," and this is where it says, after you received the light, after you were flooded with light, you know, and this is where, and NLT says, after you learned of Christ, you know, remember the former days. That means when you believed about Christ, when you received the message of the gospel, you received light. You received light to your heart, light to your soul, light to your mind. And this is where it says, after you are illuminated. You know, illumination means that we are given light. And this light is not just physical light, but it is revelation. It is revelation. It is the light of the gospel. And we are going to see some verses that speak to that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now it says, recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, or you learned of Christ, or you received the light of the gospel, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Now think of it. He's telling them that, think of it, that remember, I know things are tough now for you Israelites, because the book of Hebrews is written to Hebrews, and mostly the church that was in Jerusalem that was going through severe persecution, and also to Jews who are converts of Christianity. And he's telling them that, converts from Judaism to Christianity, and he's telling them that, remember how much you struggled, what great struggle it was with sufferings, that partly you were made a spectacle, both by shame, reproaches, and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were treated so, who were so treated. That means that they had great suffering, and in this suffering, two ways. One, they were ashamed by those who were giving them trials, who were torturing them. But also, they also suffered because they were companions. They shared in the pain of those who were being so treated. Because you can imagine, others are being persecuted and you are carried with that burden. And verse 34, it says, "For you had compassion on me in my chains." And you see, it's that's why, I mean, people will argue who wrote Hebrews, but the person who speaks of writing to people while in chains is actually Paul. And this is one of the verses that can point to you that he is the writer of Hebrews, apart from the other many things and the different revelations that he has, that he says he does not have time to explain to us. Now, verse 34, it says, "For you had compassion on me in my chains, and you also joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, and you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." I was telling them, recall the former days. Think of that time when you received Christ. And not only did you just receive Christ, you went through great suffering. You also had compassion on those who suffered. You had compassion on Paul, who was in his chains. You even lost your property, and it was not even a painful loss of property, but it was a joyful acceptance of the plundering of your goods, knowing, and this is key, that you have a better and enduring possessions for yourselves in heaven. And this is the thing that God keeps reminding us, that you have to remember that the things that are seen are temporal. What we see on the earth is temporary. Anything that is discovered by men, that they will tell you that this is the case, it is temporary. Why? Because it is in the seen world. The seen world is temporary, but the unseen is eternal. That means that which cannot be seen is eternal. And for now, it's telling us that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, now, Do not cast away your confidence. Do not give up. Do not be discouraged. Why? Because God has given you light. Now, if we jump to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just to pick on this aspect of being illuminated, it says 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have received this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. And this is speaking of the ministry of the new covenant, where we are looking at Christ with unveiled faces, and we are beholding the glory, and we are being changed. We are being changed as we behold the glory, as we see the light of God, as we see the glory of God, we become conformed, and we're being transformed, metamorphosed into the very image. We become more and more like Christ. Now it says, since we have received this ministry, we do not lose heart. And this is what we're being told. Do not be discouraged by the struggles that you face. Do not be discouraged by the situations that are coming your way. Verse 2 says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Verse 5 is key, and 6, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bond servants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The illumination that we speak about, that you are illuminated, you are illuminated, you receive light, you'll receive the light of Christ. That is the knowledge, the revelation of who Christ is, that who is Christ, that he is the image of God. He is the exact character. Remember, we spoke of the image of God being the character. That means the exact representation of God on the earth. And if we want to see God, we see Jesus, because God dwells in unapproachable light. And the only way that he has made it possible for us physical beings to see him is when he came in the form of a man through Jesus Christ. Now, this light of the gospel, when it shines into your heart that God came as a man, that he may make us the sons of God, that we might get his glory, when that knowledge comes to us, when that revelation hits our spirits, hits our minds, the Bible tells us that we are received illumination. We become illuminated. The light comes, and we no longer walk in darkness like those who are of this world, who's the god of this world. The devil has blinded them. The devil has blinded the unbelievers that they cannot see the light of the gospel. And that's why when we pray over cities, when we pray over people, when we pray for unbelievers, we are praying that God just open their eyes, remove the blindness that is keeping them from hearing the truth about the gospel. Because when that blindness is removed and they see Christ, they see Christ as the Son of God. They see Christ as what he has done and is bringing to us who believe in him. Then they can receive these eternal riches. They can see beyond what we see on the earth. And this light is important. And that's why even Ephesians, you know, when Paul is praying for the Ephesians church in Ephesians 1, in verse 18, it says that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. And I think it's NIV that says be flooded with light. That means when we're illuminated, it's like if you can go to a stadium and you see those stadium lights, they can be so bright that you will not even see the difference between day and night. And that's why you find that, you know, games are held at night. Why? Because they have flooded. That's why they're called floodlights. They flood with light. Now think of that kind of blinding light that is even greater than that, and is saying that I am praying for you as a church, that your eyes of your understanding, that means that the eyes of your inner man, the place that understands God, the place that hears from God, be flooded with light. Flooded. Let it be enlightened that it is so much that when you have that light, then you can be, when you have that revelation, then you can be able to know what is the hope of your calling. That means we have a hope as believers. We have a desire that we are looking for. There is the blessed hope. The Bible says, as we keep waiting for that blessed hope, what is that blessed hope? The return of our Lord Jesus Christ, the coming rapture to take the church. There is a blessed hope that is, we have an eternal reward that is not of this earth, is not of this creation. Why? Because this earth will pass away, but there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And it says, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? That means his inheritance, the inheritance of God is in the saints. It's given to us. And what is the inheritance of the saints? God himself. Why? Because the Bible says we are co-heirs of God. We are co-heirs of God with Christ. That means that the very inheritance that you receive that is greater than anything you can ever imagine is God himself. That's why Jesus tells his disciples, you know, I was the light of the world when I was here, but now you are the light of the world. So let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The Bible has this analogy that God is the God of lights. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And it also calls him the Father of lights, that every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. That means he is a Father of lights. That means you and I are lights. The Bible speaks in Daniel chapter 12, that verse 3, that those who you shall shine so bright like stars in the universe, especially those who win many souls, those who bring many to righteousness. If you bring people to righteousness, the Bible says that you shall shine forth like stars. Even Philippians chapter 2, if you just read the verses there, it will speak of how we shall shine forth like stars in the universe because we are the light of God. So there's a dimension of man that is light, especially the man that has met Christ. There is also a dimension of man that is like trees. You know, there are dimensions of men that is spirit. So there are various dimensions of men. But God is telling us that one of these dimensions is that you are illuminated. Recall the former days when you received the light. And what is this light? The light is the knowledge of the glory of God, which is in the gospel. Be light everywhere you are. Shine forth as light. You are illuminated, you are flooded with light, and this light floods you that you can know the hope of your calling. And if you have light, what is there to scare you? That's what I was saying. When we pray, God gives us light over situations, and we can be ready for the next quarter, we can be ready for the next season, and we are not caught by surprise. And someone will say, but how did you move? How did you know to do this? It is just the light that came. It's just the light that came. Light came. Light reveals everything that is hidden. I'll stop there for the sake of time. I pray that God will give us more insight into this. You are welcome for reflections as God blesses in your heart.
Aaron, it's Dr. Man for the word, and indeed, there is no greater sacrifice than our Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sin. He does, but when I was reading that part, I was a little bit confused at first. I said, okay, there's a use out. But now this is saying that if you continue sinning, even when you're knowledgeable, then there's no amount of sacrifice. But then I later understood what it meant. You cannot claim to be born again. You cannot claim to be, you know, righteous and yet you continue sinning.
Mm.
So the moment you continue sinning, even if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're already denying and rejecting Him. And when you die and reject Him, then there's many other names, because it's only through His name that Christ, that God, grants us salvation. It's only through His name that we are saved from that judgment and from falling in the hands of God.
Mm.
So, yes, so indeed, the sins that we commit, and it's what then potentially take us from the coverage of that sacrifice that the Lord made for us, Jesus Christ made. And indeed, there's no amount of trial and temptation that should give us an excuse.
Mm.
And I think, as it says again, the trials and temptations only help to build our character and patience.
Mm.
And we should take it with faith, knowing these are temporal days, and God will always be with us through those moments.
Amen.
So indeed, thanks for that.
Amen. No, it's true. You got it. Yeah. And really, as no one who's born of God continues to live in sin. And this is what we speak about. We cannot live in sin. Why? Because we are not under its control. And it is us that chooses. So that's really one thing that really we must not. God says He's faithful and just to forgive us when we fall. And the word there is when we fall. But then He's saying that we cannot just willfully live, because when you do this, it's like what Christ has done is nothing. What Christ has done is useless. But God is saying, let us not be those who fall back, but keep believing and keep trusting, knowing that one sacrifice has been made for us and it is enough. Amen. Thanks for that addition. Yeah.
Thank you, sir, for sharing. I have nothing to add. I just pray that God will allow us to live every day with the consciousness of that light.
Mm.
Yeah, the light of God's word that is available. Even other than the light that gives us hope of glory, even that light that also gives us direction in our everyday life. I just pray that God will just help us to live every day with that consciousness that we carry that light, yeah,
Amen.
To even shine in dark places and, you know, in the life of people around us. God will just give us the grace to live every day with that consciousness.
Amen. Amen. I love how you've put it, light of the gospel and then also light for life, you know, how we can... We cannot walk in darkness, you know, and we can know what is ahead of us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us this morning and calling us to walk in light and to recall and see the sacrifice that you've poured out for us, that indeed one sacrifice forever to save us completely and to bring us and continually sanctify us. You have made us perfect forever and you have sanctified us. You are continually sanctifying us. I thank you that we have understood your word, that your word takes root in our hearts, O God, and indeed the enemy will not snatch it away from us, O God. I thank you for this day, that our days are blessed of you, they are ordered of you, that indeed our journeys are covered, sheltered, protected. Your people, you go ahead of them, O God, even as they travel, that Lord, indeed, until we meet again, your hand and presence keeps us, sustains us, and watches over us. We look unto you. We trust in your favor, in your doing, and in your mercy, O God. We thank you for healings, O God. Them that need healing, them that need deliverance, that, Lord, you are in charge of them, and your grace and presence is with them. We honor you and we adore you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Shalom and blessed day.